conquer stress, boost happiness, and create an extraordinary life. Welcome to Uplift with your host, Jamie Fessel.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is your host, Jamie Pfeffer. Happy Monday. I'm so grateful to have you here today. And you are listening to Uplift. This is the show where we help you uncover and add more joy to your life. And I'm so excited about today's show. And first of all, I wanted to start out by just wishing everyone a very, very happy holiday season. Whatever holiday you're celebrating, I hope that it's peaceful and joyful for you, and that you are really just living in the moment and experiencing a lot of joy and happiness and positivity. And if you're not, I'm happy to say that I think that you're in the right place. I know that you're going to find some tips on today's show, even if it's not pertaining to grief and loss. And that is the topic of today's show. It's transforming pain into power. And we're going to be talking about grief and loss because everybody suffers from grief and loss, grief or loss, whether it's the death of a loved one or, you know, the death of a dream or something that you thought could have been in your life or a relationship or, you know, just a change. You know, as humans here, we all know that, you know, there's cycles of things and there's beginnings and middles and ends to everything. So that is what we're going to be talking about today. And I have a wonderful guest for you. We'll get to that in just a moment. She's just absolutely incredible and she's really going to shine a light on getting out of feelings of darkness and really transforming pain that you have into power and using that to propel yourself forward. So before we get started with that, I wanted to make a couple of announcements. The first is that I had laryngitis recently, so if my voice sounds a little bit off, that is the reason why, that I'm very happy to say that it is coming back. And so that's a good thing. The second thing that I wanted to announce is that my Uplift group that I've been talking about literally for months on the show is finally coming together. So we're moving forward. I got some awesome feedback from people last week. I was really amazed. And, you know, I asked for feedback with my programs because I want to offer programs that really, truly help people at the deepest level. So I really appreciate that. And if there's anyone out there that's listening that would like more information or feedback about the Uplift group, please email me at jp@jamiefeffer.com. And that's spelled J-A-I-M as in Mary, E, Pfeffer, P as in Paul, F as in Frank, E as in Edward, F as in Frank, E as in Edward, R as in Ralph. And I am offering 2 scholarships for this Uplift group. So if you would like to apply for that, I really hope that you will. If it's anything that resonates with you or sounds like something you'd be interested in, we're going to be kicking off the group with a powerful 4-week class, which will be free. And we're going to focus on, you know, getting rid of and letting go of the things that we no longer need from 2014. And I have some really awesome, fun ways to do that for you. We're going to be doing it, you know, it's a group of like-minded individuals. We'll all be doing all the exercises together. I'm so pumped. I really can hardly contain myself. So I've been working on some goal setting myself over the last couple weeks, and I love this time of year. It gets me really pumped up for the new year. It's amazing and uplifting and inspiring, and that's what I'm hoping to provide in this group. And it will also involve, you know, daily inspiration and then a couple of free 4-week e-classes throughout the year so that you have checkpoints of after once you release the stuff that you no longer want, we're going to set our intentions for 2015. And, you know, part of keeping these goals going is having checkpoints throughout the year. So that's what I'm hoping to give to you with the Uplift Group. There'll be monthly coaching calls where you'll jump on the call with people, you know, like-minded people. Keep yourself accountable. Listen to what other people are doing. And then, again, in July, we're going to have another four-week e-course where we can kind of reset ourselves at the halfway point of the year. So, again, you can email me for more information or to apply for one of the scholarships at jp@jamiepfeffer.com. And finally, my last announcement is on a new website that I've also been working on for a while, and I'm so thrilled to finally get this out there. I really haven't told very many people about it going live yet, but that's on my agenda for this coming week. And the website is called Awesome Women Doing Awesome Things. And, you know, I had a flash of insight about this earlier in the year, and I wanted it to be a site where people can go, especially other women, where they can see women all around the country doing awesome things in their lives. And, you know, it's really easy to turn on the TV or turn on the radio and listen to like an Oprah or Cheryl Richardson, someone like that. And I mean, they're amazing women, but there are also so many other women around the world that are doing amazing things. And I want to give them a platform to really just free publicity so that they can spread their message. One of the things that I do, because I'm just this voracious learner, is I love watching YouTube videos, and I try to watch some, you know, that better me and further my personal growth. I try to do that, and I do it every day. And if I don't, I actually feel disappointed, because learning new things is one of those things for me that is just, it's a value. It's a necessary thing that I need to do every day to keep me whole and fulfilled. And I found, just in going through YouTube, there are so many people out there offering free wisdom on things. I mean, it's just incredible. And I just thought, wow, you know, and going to different conferences and being in different classes, I was meeting so many people that were doing just awesome things. And it was just like, so, you know, I think, you know, as an entrepreneur and someone who's been married to an entrepreneur who's been doing it for 10 years, you know, the first couple years can be difficult to get started. And I would just love to be a positive, powerful force, you know, to offer this platform for women to share their story. So my intention with the site is to profile awesome women and to, you know, I'm going to start with doing it once a week. And our first profile is a wonderful woman named Melissa Caprio, who I met in the Jennifer Gray's book proposal accountability course, which our next session is coming up in January, and I'll talk more about that on the next show. But I'm the editor in this course, and Melissa was one of the students, and she's just got this phenomenal service called Postcards to the Universe. So I invite you to check that out. Please check out the website. Give it some support. The website address is awesome-women.com. And if you know someone, if you know an awesome woman who deserves to be profiled, please send me an email. You can send an email to my team at info@jamiepfeffer.com as well. And, you know, I'm just thrilled to be able to really honor and spread the word about these awesome women. And I do have to say, men, that I'm not leaving you out, because I know how many awesome men there are out there. And awesome men doing awesome things is in the works already. So before long, I will be talking about that. So back to today's show. I just really quickly want everyone to just take a quick breath. Close your eyes if you're not driving. And really just get in tune. Get grounded. Connect with the present moment. And I want to set the intention that everyone and anyone who's listening to this show today experiences some type of positivity from it, whether it uplifts you with something that you're dealing with now or it comes to you at a future time. I want to set the intention that you gain something positive from it, and it has a positive contribution on your life. So thank you for that. And if you are listening to today's show, I just want to tell you what a rock star you are. There aren't many people that take off their lunch hour to listen to personal development radio shows. So I want you to know that you are a rock star, and I want you to repeat after me right now and say, I am a rock star. I am a rock star. So thank you so much for being with me. And as I was talking about the Awesome Women website, it reminded me of my guest today, who I haven't talked to about this yet, but she is going to be one of my Awesome Women profiles because she is awesome. Her name is Nanette Stein, and she is a writer and a mother and just a wonderful human being that I had the pleasure of meeting back in November at a conference that I was attending. And I had actually gone to the bathroom, and I came back, and she was up at the microphone speaking in front of hundreds of people. And she was telling a story about losing a handful of people in her life. And as I was making my way back to my seat, I was looking and walking down the aisle, getting ready to sit down, and I thought I heard her say that she had lost these couple of people, but I just thought, wow, no, there's no way that somebody, this could happen to somebody. I thought that I misheard. And so she ended up finishing what she was saying, and she went and sat down, and then I had the pleasure of having a coincidence where the next day it just so happened that she was sitting at the chair two seats down from me, and I really took it as an opportunity to ask her about her story and the deaths that she shared about. And as soon as she started talking, I knew immediately that I wanted to have her as a guest on this show. She is one of the most authentic people that I've ever met. And I really have not had that many conversations with her, but I had a chance to talk to her again yesterday. And the same thing struck me. So without further ado, I would like to welcome my special guest, Nanette Stein, who is going to talk to us today, going to talk to you today about some of the losses that she's experienced in her life and how she has really, she's just such a beautiful example of grace and someone who has transformed what most people, I would say, would consider to just be very traumatic losses into powerful, positive experiences. So welcome, Nanette. Are you there?
I am. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it so much. I'm very grateful to be on your show.
Hi. You're so welcome. I'm very grateful to have you here. And like I said, I knew immediately when I met you that you are a very special person and you have some special wisdom and experiences to share with people everywhere. So why don't we just start there? You can just tell us a little bit about your experience and what you shared at that conference in November.
Well, in March of 2012, I suddenly lost my mother. She had just turned 69, and she was a vivacious woman who dressed up and did lots of things. So it was a shock. She had not been ill. It was a medication error that was too much for her body to handle, and she had a heart attack. And I lost my mother, shockingly. As a matter of fact, I had been running races and being very fit, and I was going to start training again for another race that day, and that's the day I got that phone call. That was probably the biggest blow to my life that I had ever had. The shock that stayed with me from losing my mother started to wane, and everything, all of the life events that happen after that that you have to take care of in lieu of someone's passing really turned your life upside down. There was a lot of things to stay busy with instead of approaching my feelings. And 3 months later, almost to the day, we got a phone call from my husband's parents, or my husband's father, that his mother had also passed. But she was a victim of a violent crime. And that was almost too much to handle. The questions that arise in you after two subsequent deaths of people that are, you know, mean almost more to you than your own life or any other person in your life, your mother, raises a lot of questions. And it is a wall that you almost cannot get over. You are left with so many questions of why something like that would happen. We, and I'm sure later we'll get to how we dealt with all of that, but a year later, my brother also passed, 1 July later, so almost a year exactly later than that, my brother had passed due to alcoholism. So there have been quite a few shocking losses that have happened in my life, my husband's life, my son's life. And instead of digging a hole and burying ourselves in it, we chose to overcome these losses with things that we'd learned before we lost our family members. And we continue to seek peace from these losses instead of lashing out in anger and feeling sorry for ourselves. And it has really become a catalyst to the life changes that I have made.
Wow. That's really incredible.
Yeah.
So
I am so sorry, but it looks like we lost our host for a second, so I'm just going to give her the opportunity to call back in. Thank you so much for being here today, Nanette. We greatly appreciate it. While she's calling back in, would you like to tell us a little bit more about your experiences with loss and maybe how you guys were able to handle that?
Sure. Before all of these losses happened, thankfully, I had already started on a life journey change. I had been through a lot, and I know that when she did her introduction, this isn't just about loss of a family member or a loved one. You can lose so many different things. You can lose and grieve over the loss of finances or a job or your home or anything that it creates a large wave of absence in your life. And everyone's experience is their own. So comparing experiences is something that I don't like to do. So in my life leading up to these losses, I had already lost so many other things. And it can really make you an embittered and angry person. And I was heading down that path. At one point in my life, I had been a very angry and miserable and hateful person. When I finally got the courage to start writing, I wrote a lot about that. I am very transparent, and my goal is to help people to realize their potential for change by offering my own experiences very candidly. Keeping things from people and making them try to arrive at the climax of the story on their own is pretty useless. So if I can share everything that's happened in my life with someone, just to show them that you can go through the darkest times of your life and still make choices that are going to keep you sane and at peace, why not? Why not make those decisions instead? And I had started about 2008 with just being tired of the way I was living and feeling. so I started to make changes. I had seen an interview show with Dr. Wayne Dyer, and I could not believe that another human being would actually care that much about other people. I had never been big on self-help. I always thought that maybe that was just people trying to make a buck, kind of taking advantage of other people's sorrow and vulnerability. So I never really paid attention to any of that. I never owned a book. I would never go buy a book. But I was so touched and moved by his interview that I went out and I bought a book of his. I didn't read it right away because that's the kind of person that I was. Later in the year, I saw Eckhart Tolle on an interview, and I did pick up his book, A New Earth, and The Power of Now. And I'm not promoting these books. This was the catalyst to help me understand that it is not necessary to live in your misery all the time. So at about that point is when I started to change. Now, this is not something that happened overnight for sure, and it's not something that I stuck with all the time. I would put those books away, and I would put those thoughts and feelings away, and I would even revert back to my old way of thinking and doing and being. But once that kind of a change is in you, it is irreversible. So I'm very grateful that I at least went through all of the trouble that I did in my life so that I could learn the lessons that I needed and help me through later when the major things started to really seemingly come apart in my life. So when I started to learn about the fact that there is a choice that you can make, always in the past, I never wanted to hear that. People, when you're miserable, you do not want to hear other people tell you, all you have to do is smile, all you have to do is think positive, because that doesn't work. You have to be ready. And it infuriates you even more when it seems like people are making light of your situation, that you're not being listened to. And you have to find find that in yourself. You have to be ready. Something has to happen in your life that makes you ready to accept the fact that you and be willing to search for your own peace. It is not outside of you. People search for peace too much outside of themselves. And you're not going to find it when you go shopping. You're not going to find it when you buy a car. You may not even find it in your job, but you have to find it inside of you. It's provided there for everyone. So once I'm sorry?
Sorry, I said that's great.
Once you find that, it really will help you to take what comes to you and deal with it the way that it really should be dealt with. And it's not making light of your situation or your feelings or your fears, but I really do give so much gratitude to the fact that I had been through all of the hard things that I'd been through my whole life already that made me miserable, that made me get to the end of my rope, that made me search for answers.
Right. My call dropped for a second, so I apologize for that. That's never happened before, but I'm very grateful to my awesome producer, Courtney. So, you know, I guess in terms of your experience, you know, it's really interesting. I knew I was going to have you on the show in November, you know, beginning of November, and we talked about it, and I just lost my grandmother last week, and that is she's the closest person to me that I've ever lost. I mean, I've lost other grandparents, I've lost other people in my life, but it's never been someone this close. So it's a new experience for me. You know, the thought of losing a mother, a mother-in-law, and a brother in such a short amount of time is mind-blowing. So So, you know, I can only imagine what it was like. And I, you know, I'm familiar with the five stages of death and loss, which I think most people are, the Elizabeth Kubler-Ross.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it sounds like for you that you kind of had a spiritual awakening from these deaths. Is that the case, do you think? Or
well, I certainly did go through the five stages after I lost my mother. Even though I had gone through things that I considered loss, this was a much bigger blow. I didn't take it personally until after my mother-in-law died. But I did go through the five stages. I was in denial that I would go through the five stages, but I did. And I caught myself. I realized I was going through bargaining. I specifically realized when I was doing it that I was bargaining, that I would give anything to have my mother back. I was in denial. I definitely went through the denial because I thought that it was maybe it was a joke and maybe somebody would call and tell me that it hadn't happened.
Wow.
I did. I really did. Even though I knew from how I had grown spiritually up until that point. So it's everyone is entitled to, you know, I just don't want to sound like I'm making light of everyone's feelings because you can't just pick up a book and read something and then not feel human emotion. I still definitely felt human emotion. After about the third month, and I did happen to take some solace for myself and read some things that helped me, and it helped me with the passing of my mother, of the after death type of scenario. I won't get into religion or anything, but things that helped me, and I knew because I do believe that she's in a better place and that things, you know, are universally better after you pass, but it's still hard for the person that is left here because you're still grieving. And then you think about all of the things she didn't get to do in her life, all of the things that were left undone, and that brings up a whole new level of grief. So grief was definitely still there. I was not, floating on a cloud after my mother passed. After my mother-in-law passed 3 months later, I was definitely, I wouldn't say my faith was shaken, but I was definitely shaken because my husband and I both, we really wanted to know why something like this was happening. I almost obsessed over the meaning of their deaths. What could a lesson be in it?
Right.
Was there a lesson? Why did this happen? There obviously has to be a reason for them both to die so close together. I didn't know what we were supposed to think. I didn't know what we were supposed to feel. And I got to the point where, you know, maybe it's just that bad things happen, and it's our job, our own lesson, to choose what to do with that. It's not something that has been done to us.
Right.
Right. We're not always meant to know the reason behind things, and I really did obsess over why this could be happening. And I still don't have the answers to everything.
Yeah.
I don't have the answers to that. I'm not a professional. I just know that I made choices that helped me get through.
That's awesome.
And
yes. And it feels a lot lighter, I'm sure.
Did feel a lot lighter.
Sitting and doing and thinking
and
that it was you did something wrong.
Absolutely. I hate the thought that somebody would think that they're being punished and that that's why something happened, or to spend so much time wondering why something happened, that there's, you know, a reason behind it. Yeah. I wrote a lot about that. It really, the writing really helped. I wrote a lot about that.
Yeah.
But,
So you used writing as a healing tool.
I absolutely did. I didn't start really publicly writing until after my mother-in-law passed away. And then I really wrote about that. And, you know, I thought that there would be a lot of anger and discontent and dissension when we went to where they lived for her funeral. And there just was none. I was amazed and really touched by the friends and the family that nobody allowed anger to surround them. She was a victim of a violent crime, so that was due for some anger. You would expect that. But I was really touched. I was touched by the fact that that really wasn't present. I was worried in the beginning that my husband and I would revert back to our old ways of anger. And, yes, I really was afraid of that. It hadn't been very long that we had started changing ourselves. So I was really worried that we would revert back to feelings of anger, and it didn't happen. Because we had started to choose already that, you know, you have a choice. You can live miserably or you can live with peace. And what have you got to lose?
Yeah.
You've only got something to gain.
It sounds like, I'm with you. It sounds like you had a wake-up call in terms of self-responsibility. Maybe I know you said it was prior to your mom dying. I don't know the extent of, I just remember you talking about running. You know, it sounds like you really realized probably over a period of time, but, you know, this is my life. And, wow, I really can't blame anybody else. I can't blame external whatever.
Exactly.
I actually,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I have one of the chapters of my book is on this. So,
yes.
You know, what you were talking about, you mentioned earlier, nobody's doing this to us.
Right.
And, you know, you hit the nail on the head there. That's
mm-hmm.
what self-responsibility is. It's getting out of victim thinking. It's getting out of, you know, everyone's doing this to me. And when you make that choice, when you wake up and you realize, you know, wow, nobody's doing anything to me. And, you know, it's a harsh reality when you first wake up to it. I mean, I did. I spent a lot of my life thinking that everything was, you know, everything that was wrong was everybody else's fault.
Right.
And there was a lot of blaming. And then, you know, over a period of time, I realized, wow, you know, I don't have to blame anybody. And, you know, it doesn't help. It actually keeps me in a lower energy, in a lower vibration. And, you know, the other side of it, though, is it's painful at first, but once you realize it, it opens up this whole world of possibility. It's like you're free,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you realize, wow, I actually have choices, you know.
Right.
I know for me, I never realized I had choices before, and it was just like,
right.
I can make a different choice, you know. So, that's awesome. So you had that skill, which you were honing, and you were able to use that
right
after you experienced these deaths.
I don't know what I would have done. Examples of specifically what?
Just of, you know, for somebody that hasn't had this awakening yet in terms of
sure.
the self-responsibility.
Absolutely.
You know, they may kind of, I mean, for me, it's self-responsibility can apply to any area of your life.
Sure.
And, you know, it's a beautiful example. So it's like, does it mean choosing not to stay in bed? And like, you know, and obviously people
sure.
that are grieving, there's no one right way to grieve. And you and I talked yesterday briefly about, you know, making sure that the feelings are acknowledged. We're not, I want to say for the listeners, we're not saying to anyone that you shouldn't grieve and that, you know, you shouldn't XYZ,
or cry
or whatever. But there does come a point where you do have to, you have to take action. You have to face it And otherwise, it'll eat you alive. You know,
right.
Like
if you keep,
yeah, yeah. So I was wondering, you know, do you have any examples of maybe a time when you made a choice to not? I mean, for me, I can't really say it with loss, but I can say it with you know, negative thinking or anxiety. I used to have bad anxiety, and you know, I realized that there were things that I could do to keep that anxiety at bay. So instead of just complaining about it every day and talking about, you know, I hate this, or choosing to isolate, choosing to stay inside, like I started learning there are certain things that I could do. And, you know, sometimes it's, and to be positive and to think positive, you know, I do a lot of things every day, and I talk to a lot of people that are like, wow, Jamie, you know, you work out every day, you know, and then they think that it's just something that maybe I was born like wanting to do, or like, you know, I love it now, but I have days where it's like, I would just love to sleep in, you know, but
yeah.
I say to myself, not going to do that today, because I know from past experience that that doesn't help me. You know, it doesn't set me up for positivity or just being in a lighter energy and being human. It's, you know, I don't watch much TV, and I specifically don't do that. I don't find myself motivated when I'm watching TV. I find myself getting feeling depressed. Like my body is not in motion. I'm lethargic, and so I don't do that. So I guess things like that. Like those are all choices.
Yeah.
Were there choices that you made in terms of the grief that you can think of, or anything?
Well,
through it.
First of all, I did go eventually to a grief counselor. I did. So I think it's important for people to understand that self-help and trying to seek answers on your own is fantastic. But if you really get to a point where you think that you need outside help, you should absolutely seek it. I put it off and put it off and put it off, not because I thought that I didn't need it, but I just really busied myself. I really distracted myself instead of feeling my feelings. That's the first thing I did. I allowed my feelings. Be with your feelings. Be with your experiences. That definitely will set you free, being with your experiences. Allow your pain. When you allow yourself to feel what you're going through and experience it and know that it's not going to destroy you, that you're going to be okay. It lets that release out, and you're able to, I think the realization that you're not going to be destroyed at the end of it is the most important thing. That's the most important part of that. You don't have to always obsess over what does this mean, or what do I do? Am I doing this right? Am I grieving right? You don't have to impress anyone else but yourself. But before I had the losses of our mothers, you know, any other loss that I had in my life before, it was always, like you said, somebody else's fault. If something didn't go right in my life, there was always an excuse. And it's really, really hard to look at yourself and know that you're, to admit that you're making excuses, or that you do this, that you make an excuse that it's someone else's fault, or I couldn't do this because of something else. You really have to look at yourself. It's hard. It's not an easy process. You can start little by little, but that is what got me up to the point where I was at. I just got tired of being who I was and doing things that didn't make me happy. And once I got over that hump of being too afraid to look at myself, I was okay after that. I was able to. It came a lot easier. Fear is a really big setback in people's lives. You're too afraid to know the real you. You're too afraid to admit when you're wrong. You're too afraid to try something new. you have to learn to let go of fear in any way that makes you comfortable in the beginning stages of letting go of your fear. And like I said, that's not, I didn't do all of those things overnight, but I'm glad that I started somewhere, because if I hadn't, I don't know what we would have done when we had these major losses in our lives. I think the choice that I made was to finally let things go. I would busy myself so much with taking care of my dad or I would take care of everything, organizing this, getting my dad set up in his house, taking him to doctor's appointments, that I refused to think about my mother's death because I was too afraid to feel those feelings. And I finally just made a choice to, I finally made a choice to feel that, even knowing all of the things that I knew, I would still hold back because I'm human and I have human feelings. I just realized that there's nothing that was going to destroy me in my feelings, letting feelings happen. So I allowed them, and I wrote, and I gave gratitude. That's another big one that I brought into my life before and continued with. I was always very grateful of everything in my life. Even I made a choice to be grateful for something each day, even after so many tragic losses. There's something that you can find. There's absolutely something you can find to be grateful for. I have a mission statement at the top of my blog that says, live your life with gratitude. Be thankful for all that you have every day, even if it's your eyes to see or your ears to hear or your feet to walk or your hands to create. I just think that if you feel gratitude for something as often as you can, you will be forming a habit that will serve you better than any other habit that you could have. And living with gratitude is a step in the right direction to taking control of your life. If you make yourself the boss of you, you take the power away from individuals that should not have the power over you. Simply right. By just changing your vibration and your resonance.
Yeah.
And you will see a difference. You know, like I said, just try that. You will see a difference. Just one thing. And it may not feel right when you've got a loved one that's gone and you are grieving them, and I grieved a lot about what my mother left behind. I did a lot of that. That's where most of my sorrow came from, that maybe her life wasn't exactly as she wanted it to be, and she died too young, and she died with things left undone, and maybe she wasn't the happiest she could have been throughout her life, and she and I did not have the most remarkable relationship. I had a lot of sorrow over the fact that she and I could have had a better relationship. I blamed myself for not being a better daughter. And you have to, it's just as important to forgive yourself of things as it is to forgive other people.
Right.
So forgiveness and gratitude. And
yep.
You know,
I have a couple other. Go ahead.
Uh-huh.
I have a couple others that I wanted to throw in.
Sure.
You know, I was thinking about the show, and I am going to offer a grief toolkit. So if anybody would like that for free, please email jp@jamiepfeffer.com. I would be happy to send that to you. And the more that I thought about this show topic and was just thinking about myself and my own experience in the last week and, you know, what I'm focusing on and how I'm feeling, because I really like to look at the way that I'm feeling, and then I like to look at what my thoughts were prior to the feelings that I'm experiencing. Because most of the time when I do that, I'll find that my feelings were preceded by thoughts that were in a similar vibration. So, you know, if it's negative thinking, I'm not going to find myself probably if there's no positive thinking in there or nothing positive happening, you know, just from the law of attraction, you know, like attracts like. So there's that. In my book, Uplift, I talk a lot in the beginning about different vibrations and emotions and feelings. You know, there's this vibrational scale that's numeric, and different feelings and emotions have different weights. And the lower feeling emotions, including grief, guilt, fear, and things like that, are on the lower end of the scale. They're at very low numbers. So, you know, shame is at a 30, where, you know, the top of the scale is 1,000. And things like love and gratitude are up there in 500, 600, 700, peace, 800. And when you look in the middle of the scale, you have things like acceptance, which is, you know, a turning point between these negative feelings and the positive feelings. And it dawned on me today, I was just thinking about the five stages of grief, and acceptance is the fifth one. You know, anger is in the middle of the scale. And in the most basic form, I talk about in the book and in my course, what are the things that you can do, you know, what are the different weights of practices and tools. Practicing gratitude has a very high weight. So if you're able to do things like that, you're going to start the momentum in a different direction, and you're not going to stay in these low energies. You know, reminiscing about the past, and I can say this for just sorrows and sadness and guilt and resentment. You know, playing scenes over and over in my head is taking me out of the present moment. And it's actually recreating energetically what happened in the past. So if I'm thinking about things that don't feel good and I'm doing it over and over and over again, you know, I mean, that's a choice. And it's not something that everyone can master immediately, and I don't know if it can ever fully be mastered. But things like meditation, I'm a huge proponent for meditation, and I think people get tired of it sometimes, but it's such an awesome practice. You know, it's a highly weighted positive practice, and it also helps you train your mind to not have thinking that is just chaotic. You know, where you're able to see your thoughts go by, and you can say, you can practice detachment, and you can say, you know, no, I see these thoughts coming in, and I don't really want to go with this today. I'm gonna put this back and go with something else. Or, you know, maybe it's the critical voice in your head. I call them the monkey mob. You know, the different monkeys that are coming in trying to tell you, you did this wrong, or you should have done this better, or that type of thing. You know, that's a critical lower vibration process. But things like journaling, you know, you mentioned that Nana, that's one of my daily things. And I like to tell my students about something called JAM, which is journaling, attention, meditation. You know, do these three things every day. There's a law in the universe called the vacuum law of prosperity. And it's basically that, you know, you've got to let some stuff go before you can let something else in. But because nature abhors a vacuum, when you let things out, you're creating a space, and nature's not going to allow that space to just stay empty. And because the universe is essentially a good place, it's going to get filled in with good. So, you know, on a most basic level, if you can journal every day, you're letting those thoughts out, and you're allowing the positive to come in. I know for me, I used to really run from facing my feelings. I thought that they were going to kill me. I didn't want to face them. And then I learned about a phrase called, what you resist, persist. And, mm-hmm. you know, this stuff would be in the back of my head all the time, but I wouldn't be facing it head on. It's like anything else. I used to have a room in my house 5 years ago that we just kept the door closed, and boxes would pile up in there. And, I mean, it was finally when I faced it, I mean, it was, like, horrific leading up to it.
Yeah.
But, but as soon as I faced it, it was like, oh, what a weight off, you know. It just, it felt amazing taking care of it and getting the boxes out and getting the room cleaned out. I mean, talk about a self-esteem booster. Like, it was just, it was an amazing experience. And I've done that in my life personally in terms of, like, a personal inventory, you know. I had to face the stuff from my past. I had to get it out and make room. And it can seem so scary, but like you said, a monster, you know. But facing mm-hmm. it and working through that process, and, you know, I had support. That's the other thing. It's so uplifting and empowering, and I think it's really the bridge to freedom is to face that stuff. And, you know, so journaling is a great way to do that. And like you said, talking to someone. You know, I created this little toolkit, and the number one thing on my list is get help. Get
yeah.
help. You know, we don't have to do this alone. And I don't know why for me, but I, until 5 years ago, I didn't ask people for help. It was like I was embarrassed or I was ashamed.
Right.
Like, I should have to be able to handle all of this, and I should know everything. And, you know, I learned about that from someone that I got help with. I needed help with my anxiety. It was out of control, and it was causing problems in my life to the point where I wasn't living a full life, and it didn't feel right. And finally, you know, sometimes the pain has to get bad enough where that's the only time that, you know, we might be propelled to actually ask for help, or somebody might have to intervene and ask for help for you. You know, but
right.
asking for help, I mean, I do, it's like one of my go-tos now. I do it with everything. And I will say, you know, there's so many other people out there that have so much more expertise than I do. And why reinvent the wheel, you know, when there's people out there that can help? I mean, I know for a fact I got a lot accomplished in my business this year. And it's because I hired somebody right out of the gate to help me. And I use other forms of help. As much as I can. It's like one of my keys to productivity. I mean, not in this sense, but I guess if you were looking at, you know, really transforming your grief, you could look at it that way too, you know. And connecting with other people, you know, it's like we have these shared experiences, and it's amazing to me. I mean, I put a post up about my grandmother on Facebook, and like 100 and some people commented on it. And I was just, like, blown away. It just goes to show that everyone experiences loss, you know. I mean, I could feel people's energy. I could feel their empathy because they understood what I was going through. And there's something about, you know, whether it's a counselor or whether it's a grief support group or whatever, you know, having shared experiences, it helps us realize, I think, that we're not alone. We're not eternally unique. We're not the only person that, I mean, I felt that way with my anxiety. Like, wow, you know, I would isolate, and then that just makes it worse. But, you know, people like I've talked to that have anxiety, and it's just like, it was helpful just to hear, like, wow, I'm not a weirdo, you know, it's not just me.
Yeah.
So, stuff like that. And the acceptance, you know, getting to a place of acceptance and recognizing, you know, this happened. And I don't have any power in that regard. You know, we can't control who dies and what happens, and we can't control what people did in their lives. But, you know, a big part of your message is, but we can control what we do, you know, and mine as well. We can control how we deal with it, and we can control what choices we make, you know.
Right.
So.
I believe, and what helped me also was, even though horrible things happen, everything happens in the universe perfectly, as it should. We may not be happy about all of it, but our reaction to a situation is what gives us the pain. And we do have the ability to choose. And we can choose peace. Life is meant to be a beautiful thing. The human spirit is strong. It can overcome almost anything. Love and kindness do matter. Even when horrible things are done to one another, we can still find forgiveness. You can forgive other people. Forgive for yourself. We are much stronger than we think. You just have to believe that you can do it. That doesn't make light of the horrible things that are going on in your life, but you have to choose to wake up every day and decide what you're going to do that day. You have to decide when enough is enough. And you can be with your grief, and you can be with your grief, and it's not taking away the fact that you've lost somebody, but I've had some major losses in my life, and if I hadn't learned already that I had choices to make, I don't know what I would have done. And it really helped me, it really helped me to start, like you said before, about positive thinking and noticing your thinking. And I started little with noticing my thoughts until it became a habit. It had to become a habit. Driving to the store, driving anywhere, I would notice if I had a judgmental thought. All you have to do is notice it. That's all you have to do. You just have to notice it. And eventually you'll get there. But you're stronger.
Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you. We're close on time. So I wanted to just say a final thing. It is like you're saying, and I've got to give a plug for my book and my course, because this is the type of stuff that we do. It's about having a plan. And so I want to say for the listeners, email me for this grief toolkit, because what I want you to do is, you can talk about having a plan, but until you're actually applying the tools, you're still going to be talking. So, I talked about this before. I've heard Wayne Dyer say it. You can read about somebody swimming, but until you actually swim, you're not going to know how to do it. So what I want you to do is I want you to prepare yourself for loss, do you have a strategy? And what you need to do is you need to pick a strategy so that when it happens, when it happens, we're in it. And it's very difficult to step outside of that, especially when the feelings are very strong. And I want you to request this grief toolkit, and there's going to be some different strategies on there. There's, you can listen to a certain type of music. That can put you in a different vibration. You can journal. You can practice mindfulness and attention, like I mentioned. What I mean by that is really just closing your eyes and checking in with your environment, checking into your senses. My coach, Jennifer Grace, she has a 5 senses check-in. That's a really great quick tool that you can use when you feel overcome by grief or by anything else. Close your eyes and listen to the sounds around you, or whatever you're doing, really be mindful about it. I love using scent for this type of thing. I have a bunch of different lotions. Smelling them gives me such pleasure. Practicing gratitude is another one. Reading certain books. I have a great recommendation for a book on the list. So please email me at jp@janiepfeffer.com for that. And really just plan your strategy. You've got to have a strategy. And start doing these things every day in your life when you start to feel lower emotions. Pick something that you're going to work on and do it. And I promise you, your life will transform. So we've got about 10 seconds left. I want to thank you, Nanette, so much for coming on, and thank you to everyone for tuning in today. I adore you, and I hope you have a great holiday.
Thank you for having me.